Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com. Go.
Witness Full Service Radio.
Welcome, welcome. You're listening to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm Matthew Ramsey, cheeseburger sculptor, ice cream caretaker, and wily coyote.
I'm Eddie Kim, proud DCist, gin head, and mediocre hunter. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and pretty much anyone who touches our all-encompassing industry. All right, this week, it's a special week. We have some out-of-towners. We have the bar team from Bad Hunter. Welcome, guys.
Hey. How's it going? Thanks for having us.
For everyone, it's Vinny Starble, Rich Belzer, Brandon Thrash, great last name, and Britt Simmons. Hi.
Simons.
It's my turn to flub.
Eddie and I take turns flubbing. And just for the record, we have four people and two microphones, so we got them packed in here.
Not quite as raucous as Jason Mader's episode, where we roasted him, and it was a complete shit show. But
and the Power Hour. Remember the Power Hour?
The Power Hour was stupid.
I remember the Power Hour.
That was a lot. That was a lot of drinks and a lot of people. You guys basically took, we were just talking about this, you guys took a road trip to get here. You drove through hell, a cold hell, a very frozen hell.
About 12 hours from Chicago.
It probably would have been more like 10 if we hadn't had a really big snowstorm. Basically from Pittsburgh to D.C., it should have been 3.5 hours, and it ended up being 5.5 of Vinny hunched over the... Yep. Steering wheel.
Vinny, you're the designated driver on this one?
I was a designated driver. I am cocky with my driving skills growing up in Colorado, so I was like, I got this element shit, you know, like, let's do it. But it was great, you know, I was hunched over. I had to, like, clear ice off the windshield wiper because it was malfunctioning, but we just recited Robert Frost and stayed calm and got through it, you know.
And I understand there was some high life going on in the back. So you're clutched, white knuckled over the steering wheel, and everybody else is cracking beers in the back.
Yeah. Britt and I are chugging down topos and high life. In the
Rich is starting to swipe on dating apps already, and
he calls it counting sheep.
Rich is the only one without a microphone. Right
how
now.
Does the flock here in D.C. look? In your opinion,
it looks great. D.C. is you know,
come on, don't call it out.
Really good. Let's go from that. We'll go there.
A lot of power suits and khaki pants.
Now, you guys were in town because you were doing basically two pop-ups over the course of two nights. You guys were over at Bresca doing a pairing with Ryan.
Ryan Martino, yeah. Will Patton, Michelin-starred restaurant. And then last night was at the Gibson.
And you guys were kind of previewing new cocktails, right, for the reopen?
Yeah, so we took this opportunity. We are closed from a fire currently since about Thanksgiving, and we've been taking this opportunity to rethink about some things creatively for our menu, work on some cocktails, and have been getting outside of our own market to kind of see how people are reacting to what we're doing and test it out and kind of get the vibe going. So we were previewing some stuff we're working on for the new menu.
Yeah, there's kind of getting into that a little bit. A conversation was had after the fire when we were kind of deciding what we wanted to do when we came back about the way you look at cocktails and the way you kind of look at components within cocktails. And Vinny and I were talking about how we look at specifically like acid components, and you make a daiquiri by, you were taught to make a daiquiri by adding lime, but lime has flavor. And the reason that you add lime is for the acid. So if you extrapolate that and you think of it as like base sugar acid, then like, what do we want our daiquiri to taste like? Mm-hmm. Do we want it to taste like lime? And like, if citrus isn't in season, it's really shitty. Like, well, you're just making it taste like shitty citrus.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's been about around component building and using acid substitutes, using vinegar, using wine. Wine has like a really high acid content. And
I saw a couple of cocktails with verjus in it. Mm-hmm. So
just kind of getting out there, it's like, can acid be more than citrus? Can dilution be more than water? Thinking about things like, what are the flavors and like what are the structural pieces? Like, you need acid, but what's the flavor you want? Like, do you want this like vinegar, like tart kind of like back end of the palate thing? Like, do you want that like really like high bright lemon? Or do you not want the citrus at all? But you still need that structure for the cocktail. The same thing can be said about dilution. Like, you need water to make any cocktail, but can that component also integrate flavor into the drink in a way that you hadn't really thought about before?
And bitterness, front end bitterness versus back end bitterness, and what kind of bitterness do you want? Like, do you want, you know, do you want something that hits on the front palate and finishes clean, or do you want something that like lasts throughout? You know, and I think that's something
we need to hook them up with our friends at Keepwell Vinegar.
Oh yeah. Oh geez, I should have brought a bottle of that vinegar. Keepwell Vinegar, great if you're looking for alternative acidulants. Yeah, great stuff. Before we get in too deep, let's talk about something bitter that we're drinking right now. What do we have in our hands? What did you request for your shift drink?
We requested an Americano. Bad Hunter is also kind of a low ABV cocktail program. We focus on sessionable, refreshing cocktails that are using seasonal ingredients and like kind of a bright and airy space. So a lot of us, after our shifts, like, we drink vermouths and sodas. We drink just sherry. We are definitely still beer and shot people, but I probably drink this cocktail.
You're very defensive about that.
No, people.
I know it's like a badge of honor, but it's okay to say it's like, I like a spritz.
I love a fucking spritz. What can I say? It's kind of my life. So this is my cocktail of choice, and I think the team was happy to oblige and drink it this morning.
And I'm glad to we can introduce you to a local product. Again, Kat Hamidi, her product, Capitoline Vermouths and Tiber, with her version of the Americano. So.
But we should probably also mention it's 11 o'clock in the morning that we're doing a special recording.
Yes, we're doing a special recording. You guys are very bright-eyed for having a bar shift last night. So good for you.
Coming off your big pop-up. Cheers. And you guys are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Well, it's just nothing left for us to do except drink all day tonight. So.
We also got a lot of love from the community, too, which has definitely lifted our spirits.
Sure. So.
Right on. Yeah. How was your DC experience?
Oh, man. DC's been, they turned it up. And, like, the industry as a whole came out. And I mean, we can't say enough about Will Patton at Bresca and Chef Ryan and Julia and Jake at the Gibson. Like, really incredible people doing really incredible work, both within their own context and then, like, to bring us in and, like, let us do kind of our thing and like, let us vibe out in a way that we love to at Bad Hunter and bring that to DC. And then, as a whole, both nights were just banging. Yeah. Just so four deep at Bresca and then busy throughout the night at the Gibson. We just, like, can't say enough about how much we appreciate DC right now.
Right. Right.
Are you going to go to any dive bars or any of the storied DC bars that...
I don't know. So the one dive bar that I like love and have been to a lot is the Pug.
But they're closed.
Is it really?
No, wait, is it? No. Oh, no, I'm not sure.
You're breaking my heart right now.
No.
I'm sorry. They're not closed. Okay. Another H Street bar has closed. It's still early in the morning. Leave me alone.
We are open to suggestions.
Showtime should be on your short list for dive bars.
All Souls is my personal
All
favorite.
Souls, absolutely.
We went to All Souls last night, or the first night we were here.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Did you right or left swipe?
A lot of left swiping, unfortunately. No, I'm just kidding. Sure. Didn't have time to swipe. I wanted to hang out. We just got back. We just literally landed it from our road trip, so we were, it's like one of the last things we did. Let's go to All Souls that night.
And we needed a fucking drink at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little known fact, Eddie Kim actually has his own drink over at All Souls. Basically a whiskey soda.
Yeah. It's a Dick O'Ryan soda. It's in a highball format.
So if you guys go there and ask for an Eddie Kim, they'll know what you're talking about, strangely.
Either that or you're making out with someone on a corner at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's
I'll have both of
another Eddie Kim.
Let's take a quick moment to kind of just talk about stuff in the news.
Oh, yeah. We talk about stuff in the news. Yes. What's going on?
So Mess Hall, Nevin and Al just released their New Kids on the Block. I think this is the third or fourth iteration. It's kind of reads a little bit more like old kids doing new things on the block. You have a lot of
Familiar faces.
A lot of familiar faces, but like awesome faces. Kevin Tien, next Steph Adali.
Ryan Rattino from Bresca. He's going to be opening up a small like experimental restaurant above Bresca.
Rob Ruba doing the Oyster, and apparently tickets are almost already sold out. They just got released this morning, so
check out some new things. I wanted to bring this up, and it was very coincidental that we have a Chicago team here. Have you all heard of the Alinea versus Cat Cora debacle?
This was a car conversation.
Yes. Okay, good. Okay, well, for those...
It's unbelievable. It's crazy.
It's happening. A little bit of an Instagram online battle between Cat Cora and Alinea, specifically Nick Kokonis, the owner. Cat was very kind of rude when she showed up for a Saturday reservation. That it was a misunderstanding. I'm just going to assume that.
I think there was a miscommunication. Miscommunication between her.
So she did not have a reservation on Saturday, and she thought that she was being rudely treated.
Apparently, she was 24 hours and 15 minutes late for her reservation.
There were birds flipped. There were words said. There were Instagram posts.
Now taken down.
Some taken down. Do you, from Chicago, I mean, Alinea is kind of one of the gems of your city. What do you think of the situation?
I mean... I think both, like, the whole thing is ridiculous. You have like basically a celebrity chef fighting with a 3-star Michelin restaurant publicly about something that happens literally every day to all of us. You know, you make mistakes, you get mixed up, and like you fuck up, and like, that's okay. You don't have to. There's so much high pressure, especially when you're talking about a place like Alinea, and they're doing amazing, amazing things. So like, they put a lot of pressure on themselves, and the country puts a lot of pressure on them, and then they're like the celebrity chef and whoever, the media. But in the end, like, we're all taking this a little too seriously, guys. Like, come on, everyone, take a step back and have some perspective.
It's just food and beverage.
It's just food and beverage. We're just drinking things and eating things, you know? So that's, I know, that's
she
my personal
really
feeling.
She just really wanted her balloon, balloon thingamajigger.
Don't we all?
Alinea.
So, yeah, we'll see. I think that's going to... hopefully fade.
It's already faded.
Yeah, the news cycle thing.
Papa John's founder has agreed to leave the company's board after over a year of drama surrounding racist remarks he made.
I did enjoy their pizza. Everyone here seems to like Domino's. I don't know what kind of... Well, you're Chicago, so you got your own pizza. You're like, okay.
Any of us like deep dish, though. I mean, I would say that all of us are New York-style pizza kind of people.
No. Okay, first of all, Chicago pizza...
This is Vinny from Colorado.
This Chicago... I've lived in Chicago for 12 years, but I am originally from Colorado. But Chicago pizza is a thin crust, like... very thin. We call it tavern style. It's cut in squares. It's kind of ridiculous, but that's what Chicago pizza is. Deep dish is a fucking meat casserole. It's delicious, but
deep dish. I'm so anti deep dish.
I love it. I just don't. I don't need it to be in the pizza conversation because it's not pizza. You don't do the things you do with pizza with deep dish.
You don't fold your deep dish.
I do not fold my deep dish. No.
Do you get it with a fork and knife?
You got a fork and knife deep dish.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do otherwise.
I mean, here's the thing: like, if flatbread, which is so close to pizza, if flatbread is, you know, not considered pizza, I don't think you're right. I don't think deep dish should be in that same category.
That's how I feel, but it's still delicious nonetheless.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like It hits all the same. If you have like a giant bowl of like spaghetti and meatballs with a ridiculous amount of cheese on top, like it hits that same kind of, it hits that spot for me at least. Yeah, just like sauce.
I mean, when I was like really broke in college, we used to do this thing where we would like toast bread, and we'd make like spaghetti sauce, and we just like put spaghetti sauce on bread and then put cheese on top and then toast it in the oven. And I feel like I was just making Chicago-style pizza personal pans in college for like a poor broke
dude. You're a visionary,
man. Yeah, I'm a visionary. Yeah,
my roommate would put ketchup on their pasta in college and call that spaghetti.
That guy's a pervert, though.
So bad. Woof.
I like pizza bagels. I'm weird. One more news item. DuPont Circle. Notable gay bar is Cobalt is closing after two decades. They closed actually very suddenly. Town, which was another bar that closed last year, at least had a time to do a farewell party, which was epic from when I saw it from the outside. But this one's closed, unfortunately. And one of the reasons, and Rich, I'm going to call you out, is because of dating apps.
Oh.
He said publicly one of the reasons for dating apps. Are the cause of all of our storied bars closing.
Hey, it ain't easy being single.
God, man.
It ain't. It's not. Well, and honestly, too, look, I won't lie. It was like a little bit of, I was saying in the car right here, it was like a little self-publicizing for the pop-ups. You know, we had a lot of industry that were going to come in the pop-ups and whatnot. But you know what?
Are you telling me you're the reason these pop-ups were so popular?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But yeah, have a little fun with it.
He's not wrong. People coming in like, hey, do you know Rich from Tinder?
I'm supposed to meet a bartender here. Cobalt was, they were 20 years old. That's two decades of awesomeness in DuPont. So they will be missed. All right, let's play a little game we like to call Two Truths, One Lie.
Yeah.
I
haven't been here so long, guys.
Oh, Jackson Booth today. Welcome back, Jack.
Two Truths, One Lie.
There you go.
Okay, there it is.
We got there. All right,
they've done their homework.
Jack, I think we should just like test you more.
Me?
Yeah,
this
we got
a little rusty.
Sound effects on the fly.
We are the only podcast actually has sound effects.
Our last guest requested fart
noises.
Yeah, fart
yeah.
sound effects.
So we'll add that to the repertoire.
Jack, can you do the bum, bum, bum?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Can we get more of that? we got it. We got that. We got all kinds of stuff.
All right. Two truths, one lie. We kind of just use this as a way of kind of getting to know people. Vinny, let's start with you.
We did this as a group about Bad Hunter in general.
Great.
The statements are Bad Hunter serves meat. Every time Bruno Mars plays anywhere, the Bad Hunter bar team takes a shot. And the Bad Hunter bar team will have 100% retention from the fire to the reopen.
Jack, do we have any Bruno Mars in the studio?
No.
And he refuses. I'm going to say
number two.
Because I know you guys sell serve meat.
We did our research, guys.
Wait. Two truths, one lie. And you said Bad Hunter does...
Bad Hunter
serves meat, so that's true, yes.
That's true.
So you think the Bruno Mars one is the lie?
I believe
I believe it's a lie.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
Oh. We had it so easy, and we fucked
this
up.
This is a pretty easy one.
Like, the thing with Bruno Mars is, I think what it started with is Vinny or Carly and Josh, some previous Bad Hunter bartenders all coming together, and we just needed an excuse to, like, do the thing outside. We had some management issues in the very opening of it. Not issues, but like just maybe some miscommunication. So we wanted a way to like separate ourselves. And like when it was busy, to like Bruno Mars would play, be like, hey, house rules. We just called it house rules. And then it kept going with it. And to the point where, like, you're in an Uber ride at 8:30 in the morning, and you're like, Bruno Mars is playing. Do I, like, abide by house rules?
I have dug out, a sample bottle. You know, those, like, mini shooters or whatever, sample bottles that every single rep gives you whenever they have, like, something or whatever. I've dug it out at 8 in the morning and, like, selfied this, me taking a shot of it. Yeah, it was, like, when we first opened, it was when all the, like, 24-karat gold, like, radio hits were coming out. So they were just, like, always playing. And at Bad Hunter, we just, our vibe is like, let's dance, let's do fun. Anyone that came to the pop-ups last couple of night now knows that. We just like to blow out and dance behind the bar and sing and like interact and bring our guests in. And those songs were just so much fun, and they kept playing over and over and over again. And we're like, let's just use this. Like, this is a sign, you know? And so it just became this thing. And now, like, every bartender from the day we opened to now as an iteration of our team that like hears this thing, it's like a unique like bonding we all have. You've got people that were hired like 5 months ago and people that were hired like 2 years ago. It's like Bruno Mars, bang, let's go.
What happens if Bruno Mars actually walks into the bar?
Oh my god. Oh, man. All right. I faint, you know.
All right, we'll throw it down to Bruno Mars.
Bruno, we know you're listening, yeah.
Wait for the opening, reopening of Bad Hunter.
You got some fans of Bad Hunter if you want to swing.
Comes through, we serve meat, you know.
So you're not retaining all of your staff?
Oh, right. So, Vinny, you want to take this?
So it's like kind of a catch-22. We are and we aren't. The only people we're losing we're losing two bartenders. One was moving to San Diego before the fire, and the other was already leaving to open a new spot. So it's kind of like a sly lie, but we're losing two bartenders, but anyone that was planning on staying at Bad Hunter is staying at Bad Hunter, which is really cool for us as a team and like our collective unity. It's not true about the servers. It's not necessarily true about any other motion, but we really come together as a bar team in this space.
Well, yeah. I mean, that kind of leads me to my next question. I mean, this fire has obviously been, you know, shitty. It's been disruptive for everybody involved. But obviously there's been some kind of good things that have come out of this.
Yeah, I one thing that I think Brandon and all of us kind of really irritated is that this bar team out of Barcelona called Two Schmucks has been doing this like thing about rebirth, and like they were dealing with very similar situations in which they had like ancient brick at one of their bars and had to close out of all of a sudden couldn't rebuild. But I think coming together from such a tragedy at first has, you know, we've always been close to one another. You know, we all hang out together. I think a big reason why is because we have this like round table way of thinking of our bar program. It's not one entity. It's not one leader. It's all of us together following, you know, Vinny, you know, who had followed our previous mentor, who always told us, don't forget to dance. It's one of those things of just like collectively coming together and being able to like go into the space and not think of it as work, thinking of it as like, I'm just going out to hang out with my friends behind the bar and dance.
Who is his previous mentor?
Our previous mentor, his name was Josh Fawcett. He's previously at the Nomad in New York City, and then he currently owns, with another one of our old cohorts from Bad Hunter, a catering consulting group in Chicago called Hospitality 201.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool, cool. Do you guys have any like signature dance moves?
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to say real quick, though, Josh, like, Rich needs some money for that shameless Hospitality 201 blog when you listen to this. Because that was, like, smooth and brilliant, and we love you. I don't know. We all have, like, our own thing a little bit, I think, behind the bar. I don't know. Like, yeah, like, I could get up and dance right now, but, like, no one will see it.
I'm picturing, like, Coyote ugly put to Bruno Mars at this point.
I mean, I don't know about like signature. I mean, Vinny's probably the best dancer. Who's the best dancer? Shannon,
maybe. We all can move. Rich can actually dance though. Like Rich break dances. Yeah. If we had a room, we would bust it out. But obviously, he can't do it behind the bar. Although that's now a new goal, is to lay some wood on top of the bar,
totally,
and then like get him up on the bar, and bring in all the swipes. And really throw a party.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like, shorthand. It's a lot of times like, you know, you gotta dance and like smile and laugh like while you're doing the thing. So like you're shaking, you're stirring, you're like pouring drinks, you're serving food, and you're dancing. So a lot of times it's not like straight up dancing. It's more just like fun, fun movement, but
functional
like,
dancing.
I like to get, we like to get down.
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep it appropriate too, but you know, there's some grinding. You know, it's fun. We love each other.
I apparently, like, you have no HR at your.
She's over there like, oh God, what are they saying? I think a lot of this has to. We talk about dancing and like, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm the worst fucking dancer. I'll admit that at Bad Hunter, but like, it's not about so much the dancing as like, when you go into a place, there's like, we talk about our vibes, and that's such a, it's not a concrete idea. It's just like, we're like, what's the vibe? What's the vibe tonight? And like, a vibe is like, when you come into a place, you can tell how people are supposed to react to you, right? In a restaurant or a bar. And if you're taking your craft very seriously and there's nothing wrong with that, then like, you should sit down and think about the menu and think about the cocktails and like taste and say, this has these components and like, I'm sipping on this and take it really seriously. Whereas like, what we want to convey to you, think of it like a life garnish, you know, what we want to convey to you.
Life garnish, is, everybody.
Is like, let's have, you know, let's have a good time. We're not taking this seriously. You have a good time. Enjoy what you're doing. And like, the vibe is like more of an energy than it is like, what's your best dance move, you know?
Our whole thing is that like, we spend a lot of time taking things really serious so that like, you A, don't have to, and B, like, we don't have to when it's happening. So we have cocktails that are like super complicated and weird. Oh, and they're weird. Also like, bright colors with like flowers everywhere. It's the kind of thing that when you walk into our bar, we want you to feel like you should be drinking something like bright and refreshing and all day and all the time. As opposed to like going into a beautiful space and being like, man, like I want to drink a Vucaray here at 1 a.m. You know, like that's a feeling, and that's just like we're trying to evoke like a different thing. Like, we want you to come in and have an Aperol spritz at 3, and I think that the way our menu,
or 11.
Or 11. For sure. Or 11. And I think that the way our space is set up, what Chef Dan does with the food, what we do with the drink, we do with our wine, everything kind of like comes together to be this like light and airy feeling. And that though, like our vibes, our dancing, our fun, like helps create that whole atmosphere, I think, for everybody.
Hospitality as escapism.
Yeah, that's awesome. Totally.
Well, we're going to step out for a second.
A little break.
We're going to enjoy these cool vibes in the meantime.
We do a little dance break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to dive a little bit deeper. We're here with the crew of Bad Hunter. I'm Matthew Ramsey.
I'm Eddie Kim.
And you'll we'll be right back. Drink.
Thanks for coming back with us. We're Shift Drink here on Full Service Radio at the Line Hotel. We have a full studio today. I'm with Matthew Ramsey and the bar team of Bad Hunter, who just had 2 pop-ups this past weekend in D.C. as part of Gin World. So everyone who enjoys gin, there are a lot of beverages to be had. A little bit off topic, I noticed that 2 of you, Rich and Brandon, are wearing on your wrists something from... was it Hope for the Day? It's an organization that I just got recently introduced to. The bands themselves say it's okay not to be okay, which is grammatically correct, which is a big plus for me. But it's based out of Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is it? Tell me more about it and why it sure. means something to you.
So along lines, there's a lot of people that are involved with it. It's a coffee shop program that kind of wanted to talk about, you know, the awareness of mental health and of currently in the state of mind today. A lot of social media, a lot of people addicted to their phones, not a lot of like actual genuine interaction, and that ties it back about dancing as a whole. People are feeling really like alone and not okay, like not being able to fit their whole life in one day, or not being able to have that like social anxiety. So it's just a true statement. It literally is okay not to be okay. And I think that realizing that mental health is a very important part of your structure and your day and your vibe. You know, we're talking about vibes. It's I think that's what the coffee shop is trying to do. And there's a lot of other people that are trying to, you know, promote that, emphasize that. And there's some small talk hospitality.
Yeah, so in Chicago specifically, Laura Kelton, Moni Bunny, and Christina Magro of Small Talk Hospitality are really helping to push this idea of talking about mental health within the industry, which hits really hard for a lot of people I know across the country, but especially in Chicago right now. We've just experienced some really, really hard things in the last year that can, if we are more open about mental health and destigmatizing depression and having open conversations about it, it helps everyone. And that's what Small Talk Hospitality is trying to do. That's what Hope for the Day is trying to do. That it's okay to feel shitty. It's okay to feel bad and talk about that. You know, we don't have to be happy all the time. We talk about good vibes, but like, if you don't have, like, if you're not feeling it, you know, we want you to take care of yourself first and foremost before you take care of a guest or each other. And having that open conversation is really important for us.
Well, in this industry, go ahead.
I just want to clarify real quick. Rich was talking about the coffee shop. So Hope for the Day is the nonprofit organization, and Sip of Hope is a coffee shop that recently opened in Chicago from Dark Matter Coffee, which is a local roaster, where the proceeds from that coffee shop are directly going to support Hope for the Day. So it's a really, really cool partnership there. But that's just kind of like two companies that are like local to Chicago coming together to really do this stuff right.
Well, it's something that we've talked about in the past too, where it's, I mean, this is something that affects all industries, but in ours, you know, we very often have to put on a face, right? We can't go to a table or to a customer and just be like, "Hi, what can I get for you?" You know, like we're putting on a show because, as we talked about before, this is hospitality escapism. You know, we want them to kind of be able to unload and do their thing. So it's even more straining, I think, for people on our side that are affected by these things.
I mean, it's especially true for our industry, being that we glorify like the 70-hour work week, the clopin double shift, like not sleeping a whole lot, going out and having drinks after, and not making a whole lot of money, and struggling, and having student loan debt, and all these things that are all coherent, like I don't know, make everything more complicated. But what's important is that I know we have to fake it for guests, but having a team dynamic is really helpful also, because, I mean, we can all walk into work and say, you know, how are you doing, and not say, oh, I'm great, like you would to a guest. We can say, you know, like, I'm doing really shitty today, honestly. Like, this, and this happened to me, and I really would love to talk about it, and, like, I don't really feel like being here tonight or whatever, you know, and it's important that we all understand that sickness isn't just a matter of the flu, strep throat, et cetera, et cetera. It's a matter of, you know, mental health as well. It should be treated just as equally. It's just as important. It's why people have support animals. That's why people, you know, go on mental vacations and things like that. But it's not really recognized in government or health funding to help anyone with that. So it's just another thing, is to just be honest with everyone and always like ask and be genuine about it with your friends at the very least. You know, it really is okay not to be okay. And talk about it, be open. So.
And I think though too, like we have a lot of free time with not being open. And I think a good liaison from that is, like, that's why we wanted to come to D.C. is one seat. You know, a lot of us haven't really got to spend time in your city and enjoy every, you know, beautiful moment. But we're a little stir crazy. We're at home. You know, we don't have a shift to go walk into. We don't have, you know, like, things to prep. So we're trying to keep our brains busy. And a lot of us have another form of job or something to do, you know, keep us busy in lieu of the fire. But however, like, that's a big reason why, like, we wanted to come here is to, like, have something to think about, have something to, like, structure the brain that we, you know, get used to, and also, like, bring us together and fucking enjoy the moment, like, be happy and try to, like, naturally and organically put ourselves in something some of us have never done. And, you know, we were talking last night and this morning, it's like, this is why we wanted to do this. It's like, this is because of these, like, beautiful moments that we had in the last two nights that we're having right now. Like, this is what life is about.
It's also important to mention that when the fire did happen, we all kind of collectively had a conversation that we were like, hey, let's all really stick together. And we try our hardest to have, like, family meals where one of us will host all of the bar staff. Right, right. And, yeah. You know, have Aperol spritzes. We've done handmade pasta. We've done dumplings. You know, like, it's just a good way of us being able to, you know, kind of not really commiserate. It's like everybody get their mind off of the fact that we're all semi-unemployed.
Well, and you're in this together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's next for you guys? Do you guys have anything else lined up in other cities?
So currently, we're heading home tomorrow. Currently nothing. We might try to slide in. We're like toying the idea of trying to maybe do Denver in April. So Denver people, you know who you are. You might be getting a text from me.
And, for some shitty pizza.
So we'll see. But we are we're excited. We decided part of this whole, like, rebirth mentality. I decided to wipe the whole cocktail menu, and we do, like, our menu in formats. It's more than just single formats. There's large formats. There's spritzes. There's, like, wine cocktails on draft. There's, like, a whole bunch of things. So I was like, wipe it all. And, like, when we were, it made sense because the menu was, we don't do, like, seasonal menus, although our menu is very, it's fluid and seasonally changing, but everything was kind of geared towards winter when we had it. So it was just like, let's get rid of everything. Like, oh, let's get rid of everything, let's go towards spring, and let's move forward. So now we do have time to sit down and, like, really write the menu, and we have some great feedback from coming to DC of things we did here and cocktail concepts that we tried out and things that were liked and maybe not liked to give us some thoughts and ideas and momentum going back to rewriting the full menu. So it's kind of the next step for us, and we might try to slide into Denver. We'll see.
Very, very quickly, are there any like top line items or things, ideas that you got from other cities or that work that you're definitely going to put on your menu?
Not so much. Well, not so much from other cities. I mean, all the places we've been have been really terrific. Thank you. We did, so this idea, we were working on non-alcoholics a lot, obviously, because of, like, this goes back to mental health and, like, taking care of yourself. We want people that don't drink alcohol or, like, trying to take a break to have, like, really fun, cool options. So my buddy in Philly was using a San Pellegrino product that's not distributed in the United States, and he is ordering it online called San Bitter. And basically, it's really expensive to do that, so we decided to, like, make our own. So we're making our own non-alcoholic San Bitter, and we put it on draft as
cool.
Both an option for non-alcoholic and then as, like, a component in cocktails, which is really cool.
There's a, it seems like, a, I mean, it kind of throughout the ethos of Bad Hunter, there's a lot of very thoughtful, I mean, you guys are looking out for not only yourselves, but other people, and kind of how you go about, I mean, the whole philosophy behind the drink concepts and food as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the I would say the ethos is definitely, like, good vibes and having a great time, but it is looking at things in a bigger scope and trying to, I know this sounds cheesy, but I say it all the time, like, truly make the world a better place. And, like, we want to help the person in front of us. And, like,
Eddie Kim and I are holding hands right now.
We're actually all holding hands.
truly like make the world better through what we do, whether that's like just bringing a smile to like somebody's face across the bar, or like helping people across the industry feel more excited about where we're all headed.
I think that for us, a lot of times, like everything we do becomes about like, it becomes about the people and like the products. Like when I think about my favorite memories of like, if I'm like looking back on a year or whatever, like I think about like dinners I had, like drinks I shared with people. Like I think about hospitality experiences, and I know that's true for people. Like, where do you celebrate your birthdays? Like you go out to a restaurant, like you go to a bar with people. And so for us to create those experiences and then like be able to translate stuff from like products you're using and the people that are making those and like the products that are grown at the farm down the street and like using that and bringing those people, it's like you're full circling this whole idea where you're like literally taking like craft and stuff from like one human being, translating it through your craft and like giving it to somebody else, so that like in this one moment in time, like you can share something special, and it's because of a whole bunch of people that can happen.
One of the other things too that we want to focus on upon reopening is the idea of preservation in time and place. Like one of the part of the ethos of the restaurant is that, you know, it's vegetable forward, it's fruit forward, it's less meat, less, you know, everything's sessionable. So what we are planning on doing is expanding and kind of making a pantry. So we're going to do a lot of like fermentation, making our own vinegars, a lot of like preservation of fruits and vegetables to use in the winter when we're really struggling for things. Citrus is in peak season, but you know, are we gonna be, how do you encapsulate like the flavor of a strawberry in December that you would have in July and like have it taste the exact same? So that's another thing that we're definitely going to focus on, and it'll be nice to work closely with farmers in that way, because you get a more thoughtful drink, something that'll bring you back to a particularly in Chicago where it's absolutely fucking freezing all the time. Something that'll anything that'll transport you to July is the best.
I was gonna ask, that's why you have so many spritzes on your menu, because
precisely
can't have that many Manhattans on your menu, even though the weather says so.
Well, before we step out here, we're going to do just like a quick series of what we call rapid fire questions. Time for the payback.
Rapid fire.
So these are just going to be kind of like tip of the tongue, and maybe we'll just do kind of one answer per question. So I'll let you guys kind of fight that one out. Eddie, start us off.
Oh, God, you must start off with me. I was going to actually ask, one person that you... This is from a question that was asked from our previous guest. We call it Ask It Forward. But
Bill Jensen.
One person alive that you would want to serve. Everyone quickly. Top of your head.
That's alive right now?
Sure.
Barack Obama.
Boom.
AOC.
Oh, my God.
Very DC appropriate, by the way, so far.
I'll say I'm branded to say Bruno Mars.
Jim Meehan. Love that dude.
Oh, Jim Meehan, yeah.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
Keeping within the industry.
I've served him, you've served him.
I mean, we're friends.
But I want to serve him again.
We are not above brown nosing here in the studio. Matthew's okay. The king of
Matt. All right. Cocktail guilty pleasure.
Oh, I love Rumplemintz. So anything with Rumplemintz. Rumplemintz daiquiri, Rumplemintz mojito, Rumplemintz, yeah, whatever.
A Rumplemintz daiquiri, yes.
I'm going to ask you this. How about first celebrity crush?
Oh, boy. Oh, God. I think it was Nick Carter, pretty sure. pretty positive. I was very in love at a young age.
Favorite Brad Pitt movie?
No such thing. All
Rich just had a little spasm.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
What?
What? No. Rich? No. Rich, you're done. Get out of here. Clock out, Rich. Clock out.
Let's go in the corner and keep swiping.
What the hell?
It's not that bad of a movie. Come on, guys.
Legends of the Fall.
Right?
That's the second time. Bill said Legends of the
Fall. No, he said River Runs Through It, which is, I think,
pretty much.
They're kind of neck and neck.
Your favorite... what is your deathbed meal?
Ooh, I love this one. So I talked about, I did like a really long hike 3-4 years ago, and this was one of the questions we asked everyone. So it is my grandma's mac and cheese,
the ribs from Logan's Roadhouse, which is like really ridiculous to hear, but like they roast them for like 24 hours. They're super good.
Is that in Chicago?
That's like a chain, shitty chain in like the South. Like peanuts on the floor and shit, you know?
Nice.
The burger from Nopa in San Francisco, and any meat dish that David Posey from Alsko wants to cook me.
And you work in a vegetarian restaurant. I get it.
Yeah. all the meat.
I know I'm really, really conceited with this one. My spaghetti and meatballs. And really, really, really good aged ham. Really, really, really good bread. And really, really, really good butter. That's it.
Really, 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 really good. It's going to be extra on this one.
Charcuterie board from Chez Pascal in Providence, Rhode Island, and a lobster roll from Matunic Oyster Bar, and then an Aperol Spritz.
Beverages are included, yeah. Too. Rich?
Mine's just really simple. I just want an In-N-Out burger with animal fries. So, you know,
everyone's really on brand right now. Yeah. Britt wants something from the East Coast. Rich wants fast food, and Vinny's going to eat something he cooked.
You guys, I know you have a lot of eating and drinking to do, so thanks for joining us. Appreciate your coming into the studio today. Listeners, you can revisit this week's episode or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, including Spotify, and find us on all the social media as @ShiftDrinkDC.
Don't forget to throw us a review on iTunes or give us a 1-star review on Yelp. Or just, you know, slide into our DMs. Let us know if you want to hear about any specific questions to ask our guests, any new ideas, any guests that you can throw along our way. A special thank you to Jeffrey Lamoureux for our brand new intro music.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to it.
We love it. A little vibey, a little spacey.
Super hot. And real quick before we go, we asked this of previous guests to ask a question forward for our next guest. Anybody have a question that they'd like to ask our next guest? I know it's on the spot here.
No, that's... go ahead.
Go.
Rich?
What is your favorite style of pizza?
Oh, nice.
Ooh, yeah.
Great.
That's a great one. Awesome.
Great.
Well, until next week, friends, you're listening to Shift Drink.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.